Hello, I'm Parker, Matt, and I'm joined by Hill, Beck, for this cast, pod, squared, a problem. My host, co, Hill, Beck, is a comedian, stand-up, comedian, TV, comedian, flip chart, and I am a mathematician, stand-up, books, writer of, and intro, doer of. And on this cast, pod, we problems, solve. That's all I had. That was my bit for the...
Maybe they can help with your grammar.
That works. That's a perfectly valid grammar. That's a maneuver, perfectly valid grammar.
I think you'll find that I was... perfectly quoting Holly from Red Dwarf then.
Oh, dang.
Because there is an entire opening.
Dang, oh.
There's an entire opening in, I believe it's the first series, Waiting for God, I think. So one
when they're still on the big ship.
Yeah.
No Crichton.
And it when they used to do their little things at the beginning.
Little log update things.
And Rimmer does a whole log where it's loads of commas. And he says, hopefully we'll find alien life. And then Holly says... maybe they can help you with your grammar.
Hey.
So.
A lot.
I somehow out-geeked you.
Hey, we all know you're here for the popular culture.
Yeah, that's true.
Media references. I think we are brand, 100% on. It's fun. It's fun.
And in this, in our friend, relationship, work colleague thing.
Yeah, whatever the.
Whatever. You are the Rimmer and I'm the Lister, arguably.
Yes. That, I can't argue with. Episode, on this.
I'm seeing which utility would be most useful on a utility belt.
I'm going to calculate the speed of smell.
And we'll have business, any other.
Yeah, now you got it.
Hey.
So, Beck, how have you been?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware that this episode comes out on the 10th of October.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll be on our last day in New York.
Oh, we're leaving New York today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
But I'm assuming I've had a great time.
We had a great time. I'm sure we will have had a great time.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be really awkward when this comes out and it's like, do you remember
was the straw that broke podcast's back. Yeah.
It's going to be in the storyline of our working relationship. It's the moment of conflict where we both go off on our separate ways.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah, but I'm otherwise... Do you know what? Actually, there was one thing that I had totally forgotten to bring up in an earlier bit, which was... Oh. I went to Edinburgh.
You went for the Festival Fringe.
Yeah, and I talked about that a few episodes ago. Up a second time.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Couldn't get enough.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, had to go again.
It's not the Fringe unless you're there for too much.
They say you go to the Fringe twice.
Once on the way
in
up.
1 year.
Once on the way back.
Oh, Matt, it's so interesting. You remember my energy the first time. I was so excited. You were like, oh, who would have thought that you could go to the Fringe without doing a show?
I know, yep.
And everyone was having a great time there. And then I took a fellow...
This is the beginning of the Fringe.
Yes. Yeah, it was about in the second week, the second week.
Really
and
nice.
Then it was in the last week that I went up and Nat Letzima, who is a comic and author, she saw my pictures from the first time and went, oh, I wish I'd gone now. And I was like,
guess what?
I'm going again.
We're doing it again.
Yeah, I had a great time. So I was up there and what I wanted to say was a cool thing happened. My train back to London was at... 6:50 in the morning.
Whoa, that's an early train.
I was out late.
You were at the Fringe. Last night at the Fringe.
Last night at the Fringe. It was a Friday night.
And you'd never chose to do.
No. The first time I went up, I kept saying, I want to go and dance. I want to go and dance. Do you remember Paterhouse? You and I were dancing there in 2019.
The word dancing is being translated very generously.
I danced and you moved.
I moved about.
You moved.
I was in the same location as music. Music and I were in the same room together.
We existed. No. Do you know what? Look, I'm going along with you for that for comedic effect, but I am genuinely of the belief that everyone can dance. It's just that some people are judgy. And so I was like, I want to go to Paterhouse. Kept saying to everyone, we got to go to the... They're all in the artist bar being important.
Hanging out with cool people.
But it was so full. And there was one other friend there who really wanted to go dancing, who was disappointed we didn't the first time I was up. And so I said, hey, you and I are going to go.
This is good.
And then we'll tell the others that we're going to be there. Build it and they will come. So she and I headed there.
Throw down, they'll head over.
And we got to Paterhouse and it was quiet. And the music was fine. You know, I liked the music, but it wasn't anything I recognized.
Right.
And I leant over to one of the people in charge of the venue,
yep,
who I know. And I said, oh, who's DJing right now? And they said, oh, it's a staff member or something. Yeah. And then they leaned over and they went, do you want to DJ from 3? As in 3 a.m.
What?
And we, you know, this is like 2:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, heck yes, hello. I do.
Yes.
Sent out the word, 3 a.m., took over. Oh my goodness. Amazing. Did we get the party started? Oh, it was great. That's played Eiffel 65.
What are your floor fillers? Oh, there you are. Yep.
Actually, I opened with Groove Armada, I See You Baby, because when we were at Blue Dot, we missed Groove Armada doing I See You Baby.
We caught the end of their set.
Yes. And so I was like, we're going to have to. So I put that on. Yeah. Everyone jumped to the dance floor, had a great time. Basically did that for an hour and a half.
Non-stop bangers.
I danced constantly the entire time while DJing. I did not take a break. I didn't stop. I just danced constantly. I switched from alcohol to water as soon as I found out I would be DJing.
Yeah.
I have so much energy when I'm not drinking. It's fantastic. And then I was like, there's no point going home to bed.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I was like, who wants to go see the sunrise on Carlton Hill?
You pushed right through.
My initial thing was to go up Arthur's Seat. And then I realized, actually, allowing just over 2 hours to get up Arthur's Seat and back down and then home to pack and then down to the train station. I was like, oh, I'm being a bit... Yeah. So went up Carlton Hill, watched the sunrise. Beautiful. So now what I'm saying is I need a DJ name because obviously I've been bitten by the bug and I want to do that more.
DJ BH.
So I think DJ Be Chill is a clear,
obvious
one.
At last, you can... Yeah.
I can use the Be Chill.
That's great. I love it.
Yep. Which is all I've got to do is move the space.
Yeah.
There was also someone who recommended Dex Hill.
Dex Hill.
DJ Dex
That's
Hill.
That's good.
But I wanted to put it out there and see if anyone else...
So the DJ name.
Yeah. So if anyone has any DJ name suggestions for me, please send them over at Beck Hill Comedian or Be Chill Comedian.
Beck Hill.
What would your DJ name be?
Oh, yeah. Algorithm.
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 Oh.
DJ precise Algorithm. Precise mathematical beats.
I like that.
We're going to have to call a truce right now or we're going to spend the rest of the podcast thinking up DJ names.
Well, I think you and I should DJ together.
Oh my goodness.
And we could be bananas in dejamas because I'm pretty DJ is short for dejamas, right?
I think it's short for dejamas.
Yeah. So I'll do a tweet asking for your suggestions. Make sure you reply to it. If you don't reply to that tweet, I probably won't see your suggestion. There you go.
Love it.
What about you, Matt?
Oh, I've not DJed anywhere.
No, and then what have you been up to?
Right. You know what I did do? And this is the power of podcasting. I mentioned in the other podcast that I occasionally do. A podcast of unnecessary detail.
Those guys.
Which we don't talk about. Obviously, this podcast is my favorite. In that, I was talking about the sewers in London and how I love the old Bazalgette sewers from the 1800s.
Ooh.
And I expressed an interest in seeing the new sewers, the Tideway development. Someone got in touch, Mark, who's a director of Orbit Architects, who were doing the kind of public-facing architecture that's sitting on top of the now reclaimed land. I say reclaimed land, built up sewer sticky out into the Thames bits.
Yeah, yeah, near Blackfriars.
Yeah, oh yeah, because there's actually a whole bunch of them up and down the Thames, but they're doing a couple of them, including the Blackfriars one. Mm-hmm. So I got a tour of the Blackfriars Tideway site, which was... very exciting. So I couldn't go in the pipes. There's a lot more paperwork.
You got to
actually go into the sewers.
Yeah, you got to be like Mario.
Exactly. You got to find one. I could find one of the green ones. But
there was plants coming out of them with the
little
teeth.
Yeah, and they were shooting fire or something. So I'm still keen to actually get in the pipes. There's more paperwork. That's still an ongoing project.
Yep.
One day I will get into the pipes.
Get in the pipe.
But I could tour the top of the site, which was amazing. So I got to wander around. They showed me where they're putting in the different chambers, how the flow goes, bits of the old sewers that were coming out, new bits going in. I got to see they had divers because they couldn't get rid of enough all the water around where the Fleet River empties into the Thames, which now has to be redirected into the new sewers.
Oh.
So for people who aren't familiar with the sewers in London, when the Victorians invented flushing toilets, they just repurposed the current sewers, which were just the rainwater runoff systems.
Yeah.
So they basically dumped sewage into the rainwater system, the old drain system, part of which was the old Fleet River, because there are a bunch of rivers that go into the Thames that London has completely built over. So the poor Fleet, once a fantastic, mighty river, is now an underground sewer.
Oh, wow.
And a bunch of these rivers, they go through some basements, like in the city. Like the rivers are there, they're just subterranean now.
Oh.
It's incredible. There's a city, it's just built over the rivers. But a bunch of them still empty into the Thames, some empty into the sewers, Fleet emptied into the old Victorian sewers. But now they've got to redirect it into the new sewers. So they showed me where the Fleet River comes out into the Thames and they're redirecting it and how it gets into the new sewers, which was very exciting.
That is very exciting.
The highlight might have been, and this shows you the difference between people like us who try and communicate things to other people and people who are just engineers. Because they were showing me one of the big vertical drop shafts, which is how, because you got all the sewage has got river level and you got to get it down real deep into the main pipe that gets out of the city.
When you fall in a bottomless pit, you die of starvation.
The problem is, if they're dumping sewage into this massive vertical tube, which goes down, I don't know, like meters, 10 meters, let's say, long way, they don't want the sewage to have too much kinetic energy. Which I think we can all agree you don't want your sewage to have too much kinetic energy.
What, because it like, comes alive?
It comes, no, it's just a lot of impacts.
Oh no, it's got too much kinetic energy. Yeah, exactly. Whoa. It's a swamp monster.
Have you seen Ghostbusters? Yeah.
So
what they do, they're like, oh, so we have a vortex.
Which I know what a vortex is, but that does sound incredible.
It sounds incredible.
It sounds more exciting
than
what
it is. They're really like, they didn't know why I kept asking questions about this. They're like, oh yeah, there's a vortex. I'm like, well, hang on, whoa, how does that work? They're like, oh, it's not active. It's just like the way you shape it, you can get it spinning. And I'm like, look, you can't gloss over. You can't be like, oh yeah, and here's where the 10 meter tall crap-nado will be. Yeah. You don't want to know about the crap-nado. I'm like, yes, I do want to know about the crap-nado. But when it's finished, there's going to be this wonderful public space. Great architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Cafes, people hanging out.
Yeah.
Directly below their feet, a meter down, is a huge multi-meter high crap-nado. A vortex of swirling sewage.
Isn't that amazing?
So I'm very excited about this. I'm going to say there's two things I want to do now. I'm going to see if I can go back and find out more about this crap-nado. Because what I really want to do is make a video in 2025, once the park is finished, and just be like, beneath my feet is the world's biggest crap-nado. I don't know if it's the world's biggest. It's going to be big.
Yeah.
But I also, the one thing I couldn't see, and I'm going to try some more paperwork to do this, is I want to see the original Bazalgette sewers. Well, if anyone here has access to the actual London sewers, and I know they're not going to be as clean as the new, as yet unused bit, but if there's any way to see an old Bazalgette sewer line, let me know.
I had no jokes. Except for Crap Parker.
It's not a joke. It's an insult. Beck.
Yes.
We were discussing grappling hooks. Why were we discussing grappling hooks?
Because I have one.
Because you have one. That's why. Like, I knew you always wanted one. They just came up in conversation because they gave you one in Edinburgh. Right? Here's a grappling hook.
Yeah, my friend Gus gave me one.
There you go. That was episode 042. It has inspired a new problem. We don't just solve problems, we cause them. Mm-hmm. So Ben Clifford put in a problem saying that he's been inspired by your grappling hook chat. But their issue is that while they'd like to be Batman, they are not a wealthy business person. So they haven't got the funds to just put any old grappling hook.
Yeah.
You know, they've got budgetary limits.
Yeah, they don't have a Batmobile.
They haven't got a Batmobile.
They haven't got access to military grade.
They haven't got the Bat Fund.
Yeah, or the Bat credit card from Batman and Robin.
They have not got the Bat credit card from Batman and Robin.
Which I was recently talking about to some friends, and I realized that, you know, when you get a credit card with like a picture or something,
right,
on it, you can do that with debit cards or credit cards.
Oh, yeah, it's very funny. Yep.
Like a custom one.
Yep.
You do that through your bank.
Yep.
That means that Batman or Alfred had to sort the Bat logo on this card.
Yep.
And also that means he's got a bank account under Batman. I'm pretty sure that the bank are going to be like, I think Bruce Wayne and Batman are the same guy.
No, they would just walk in dressed as Batman and open a cash account.
Okay.
And I think they're pretty used to putting the Bat logo on things. That's like...
At that stage.
That's their whole thing.
I guess there were already two other Batman films that had come out by then. So yeah,
exactly. Was it the one with Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's the one where... I could go about this all day, but they made the merch for it before they'd written the script.
That's so good. The script was just to join all the merch together into a narrative.
Yeah, that's why it's so good.
Forget Hero's Journey. It's...
Merch Journey.
Merch Journey.
Speaking of merch, we are wearing our Ding shirts right now.
We are wearing our Ding shirts right now. For the record, we are both wearing our Ding shirts.
There'll be a link in the show notes to the merch if anyone wants some.
You can look as cool as we do.
Came up with the merch and then we came up with the podcast.
That's true.
But then we took two and a half years
to get to the merch and then it didn't arrive on time. So anyway, back to, I don't know if you remember Ben Clifford.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Wants to know what one utility they could strap to their belt that would help them stop the most crime, ideally under 100 pounds.
Okay.
Which at the moment is about 100 US dollars, is about 100 euros. What's the best budget belt buy?
Ben says that would help me stop the most crime.
Correct.
So I thought the place to start would be working out what type of crime is the most common.
Oh.
And then go about...
You're right.
Stopping it that way.
The criterion, other than cost, stop the most crime. Yeah.
So, I checked the Office for National Statistics.
Yep. ONS, big fan of their work.
Yep. Went to their most recent release, which was March 2022.
Sufficiently recent.
And had a look at the most common crimes.
And Ben is in the UK, because all they've just quoted pounds...
Yes. So we've got the 10 most common crimes. This is in the UK.
Gotcha.
Would you like to have a guess at the most common crime?
The most common crime.
Yeah.
So by crime, something arrestable, I guess.
Or illegal.
Illegal. I bet it's something like most common crime. Is speeding, that's not a crime, is it? That's just... Is speeding a crime?
Yeah. Yeah. That would fall under vehicle offense.
Oh.
Vehicle offenses. That is fifth on the list.
Wow.
Yeah, 361,045 reports.
I would have thought. So there's four things that more than 360,000 people have done.
Yeah.
Or been arrested for. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a subtly different question, isn't it? Because it's not...
It's not who's done it. It's how many have been reported.
It's which crimes are most enforced by police.
Or are
logged. Yeah. Okay, probably... Just like theft or is shoplifting its own category?
Shoplifting is not, but theft is.
Oh, okay, theft is theft.
Theft is second.
Oh, so close.
Yeah.
I've been robbed.
2,605,000.
Dang. That's a lot of theft.
So we've got vehicle offences at fifth.
Yep.
Coming in at fourth, violence. So 1,507,000.
It's all violent crime.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. It's not top three.
Yeah. That's true. In a way, that's good.
That's better.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
Coming at number three, computer misuse.
Oh.
So that's
computer
like
computer misuse.
Yeah, very specific. That's like hacking, data breaching.
Ah, right.
So that's 1,633,000.
Wow.
Number one, fraud.
Fraud.
Mm.
That's a good... That's more enforcement of kind of white-collary crime... than I expected.
Is it white collar though?
Well, it was fraud.
Phishing with a PH. So that's one of the main methods used to commit fraud.
But that's not misuse of a computer.
Yeah, because it can come in via email, but also text.
Oh, all sorts of things, yeah.
Yeah.
And in then fact, it's basically...
I don't know about you. I've been getting tons of them since the track and trace stuff from...
Yes.
Not the NHS's number.
I got an
saying,
NHS
you've
one,
been in contact with someone.
Yeah,
from, yeah,
a couple of days ago. And I always... One day I'm going to fall for one of these things because the most... I got one this week. I was like, I wonder where that was. I went, wait a minute. And it was something like NHS-data-portal.dodgy-something. And I'm like, it's a suspicious phishing text.
Yeah, so got to be really careful with those things. The advanced fee fraud and consumer and retail fraud was another big one. So that one, advanced fee fraud offences include scams where victims transferred funds to fraudsters for postal deliveries.
Right.
There's loads of those where it's like, you're shipping
parcels. Money, yeah.
For those who had received phishing messages, 54% have received messages from fraudsters pretending to be delivery companies, 32% from banks, building societies or other financial institutions, and 29% from e-commerce companies. Where respondents had received phishing messages, 11% provided personal information that could be used by fraudsters.
That's quite a high hit rate. I can see why they do it.
Yeah.
Good scam. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought I'd actually ask about it because I think a lot of us feel very savvy when it comes to that stuff.
Yep.
When some of the scam stuff I get sent, there's NHS texts and things like that. I can't help but think if I was older and a little less clued in, I would 100% fall for this.
I'm terrified of the equivalent of me when I'm old. Because I'm like, because we grew up immersed in a bunch of this tech, I feel. But even then, it's still, you got to keep your wits about you.
Mm.
I'm like, when I'm old and I'm sick of having my wits about me and the technology's new and I'm not fluent in it, I'm like, I'm totally going to get scammed.
So I asked if anyone who follows a podcast on Twitter has been scammed, especially if they don't imagine themselves to be in that position. We did have someone who works fixing computers and stuff who was telling me about an OAP that they helped who had been scammed twice in a week.
Aww.
Yeah, that was one where obviously they'd called saying, we're Microsoft, we've noticed some activity, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they took her money and then also ended up like deleting all of her files or something.
Oh, that's just a jerk move on the way out.
But the worst one is that then she got a phone call the next day saying, you know, we've noticed some strange activity, and she was like, well, yeah,
I've just got scammed.
These guys did this, they took my money, and now they've deleted all my images. And they're like, oh, okay, we can fix that. It's just £300.
Oh, wow. To go for the final dip.
Twice in the same week, which is just heartbreaking. She was able to report it to the bank, and they were able to return the money, but
there is a surprising amount of onus on the banks to stop these things. And so if anyone has been scammed, you've got more chance to get your money back than I think most people expect. If you actually swallow your pride and report it, and go to the bank, you get your money back.
So now we know fraud, number one.
Yep.
Most common crime. What can you put on a utility belt?
Oh, yeah, there's a problem. Yeah.
Ben. To stop that. At first, I was thinking, I'll be smart and say it's under £100 because the answer is common sense. You know, like, oh, you've got to know, you know, it's about
The utility was inside us the whole time.
Yeah, or like a bunch of brochures you can give to people that explains more about fraud and what to look out for. But then I realized that's not technically it's stopping crime, but it's not preventing. It's not stopping criminals. The crime.
It's just lessening the effectiveness of the crime.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, what would stop this? So I asked people, have you ever committed a crime? Why?
Oh, okay.
Because if we can understand why, then we can work out how to stop it. I'll read out some of my favorite responses first. So Zoe Griffiths said they ran a red light.
Oof.
It was because they got distracted by an unusual road sign and was busy worrying if they were following the road rule.
Right. Yep, yep, yep.
And they said they were, in brackets. They were caught. It was outside a police station and there was a police car behind them. They
terrible then, criminal, that Zoe.
They then tried to let the officer into the car, but couldn't work out how because they'd left the lights on and the flat battery had knocked the central locking out.
That's correct.
And the only reason they were driving was they were driving it around to charge the battery up, which then led them to answer both of the police officer's questions, where are you going and where have you come from, with my house, which didn't help the situation.
No.
They said, punished, amazingly no, but they would not do it again. So obviously there were quite a few things like that where people were saying, I broke the law, but I didn't mean to because of this. So a lot of it was just mistakenness. And I would argue that majority of crimes are not caused by people mistaken.
No.
There was another person who replied to say, when I was a younger teenager, I would often lie on the internet and say I was over the age of 18. I think everyone can work out why I did it. They said they were caught by my dad once and afterwards I was allowed to move my computer to my room. 10 out of 10 would do again. So a lot of minor stuff, a lot of things like that. My personal favourite was Dave Bluestein, Australian comedian, who said, I used to break into the nursery in the park, as in a gardening nursery.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I used to break into the nursery in the park across from their friend Joel's house. We didn't steal anything. We just removed the panes from the orchid greenhouse, sneak inside and look at the flowers for a bit. Actually, quite a few responded to me to say that they had broken the law by purchasing marijuana, assumingly
that's somewhere where it's not legal. Across the UK?
Yes, or somewhere not legal, wherever they are.
Oh, wherever they are.
I think in all cases they weren't caught and happy to keep doing it. And so I thought that's really interesting. So I actually went into a bunch of psychology papers where people have talked about the reasons why people commit crimes. And there's so many factors, but some of the bigger ones are things like where the outcome of the crime outweighs the negatives.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of times where...
If crime does pay.
But then you get more into the whole perception of the fact that people commit crimes either because they need to or feel that they need to. So it might be that they are in a position where they feel stuck in a cycle. It might be that, let's say, you don't have enough money to have a nice suit, to get a haircut, to look presentable by society standards, or maybe you don't have enough money to go for the type of education that you feel you need or something. And also a lot of people can't get into education because they're on the poverty line or below it and don't have access to it because they're too busy worrying about whether they can eat. They can't get a job because they wouldn't do well in a job interview from that, which then adds to the problem that they don't have any income. So they're stuck in this loop, in this cycle that our current system of society doesn't look after effectively. Someone committing fraud might feel that is the only option they have. I know that's not always the case, but that is one of the things that might play a role. So you've got direct factors like that. Then you've got indirect factors where, again, someone's stuck in a position of hopelessness in society, might start to get depressed by that. They might, because they can't see anything else changing around them or being able to change their situation, might as well change your mindset. So then you start taking substances that make you feel happier, that make you feel better or make you forget things. And then next thing you know, not only is the actual taking of the drugs or purchasing of the drugs illegal, but also then needing to fund yourself to do that usually means having to perform some sort of crime. So a lot of crime actually really stems back to the fact that our system at the moment does not look after a lot of people efficiently enough that they feel like crime isn't an option. They're not being offered anything better. Or it's people in a society that feel like they don't need to respect other people or their property or their livelihoods because they feel disrespected and not looked after in their livelihoods and things like that. And I'm including like people who commit fraud, shoplifting, little small things. Some of the things that we're, you know, where people are like, oh, I accidentally stole a sweet from Sainsbury's. Do it again if I didn't mean to, whatever. A lot of people would be more inclined to follow rules if they felt that they lived in a society that respected them or where the laws involved felt like they were being fairly applied.
Yep.
Because people at the moment, a lot of the laws are aimed at what are laws, if anything, just society agreeing that, okay, that's okay to do and that's not okay to do. And there's a lot of laws that aren't in place that should be that would stop a lot of people from effectively stealing money from everyone else. Now, I could talk at length about all of this and there's so much more in it, but I'm also aware that we want to know what can go on a utility belt.
Yes.
So I'm doing some research. I'm currently, ever since trying to answer this problem, I am now reading a brilliant book by James Plunkett called End State, 9 Ways Society is Broken and How We Fix It.
There you go.
Which I'm really enjoying because it feels like it's actually providing answers. And one thing we know about industrialization and its effects on
civilization as a whole.
Yeah. We sort of had the problem we're in now just after industrialization because there was nothing in place looking after people.
Yeah, I blame the looms.
Always blame the looms.
Looms.
Blame the looms. It's new merch. Yep. Look it up.
It's yeah. Not.
While I'm like, capitalism is part of the problem. Buy Amazon.
Yeah.
We had that problem, but then basically we ended up with social democracy where we started forming all of these laws and rules to help regulate and look after society as a whole. But then there's new markets opened up with the internet and all these other commerce sort of type things that aren't regulated. And now we're having a similar problem where people are being taken advantage of. We're seeing the way that the old governmental system is being manipulated and used The answer, though, is hope. If you don't hope, you stop trying and you stop trying to change things. Do you know that they said that, like, if we got rid of child labor,
oh, goodness,
it would destroy
the
economy?
Every time limits have been trying to put on a free market situation, people complain that's going to destroy it every time.
The idea of an public education system, that was deemed impossible. There's all these things where the people in power at the time said, this is impossible, it will never happen. And it was through just constant pushing and urging and people coming together and working on it that it became possible and that we have those things. So if we feel like having a society where people care about each other enough that they're not committing crimes, where people feel looked after enough they don't feel like they need to commit crimes, then all we need to do is start believing that society could work, then we can achieve it. I know that what we want is an answer where it's a physical item you can put on a utility belt, yes, right? So I've brought it upon myself to come up with something that represents that hope so that when you see other people with it, you know that they likewise believe that there could possibly be a new future because hope breeds hope. So I'm thinking maybe a badge.
A hope belt. A belt buckle's a thing.
A hope buckle.
I don't know.
You're going for a real practical part of the belt, aren't you? It needs to be something that everyone can either make or easily access because I don't want it to be something where people buy it.
Once it's on the belt, people aren't like, oh, that's my...
No, that's not my at bit all. Done. No, good, no, no, good. No, no, no. But I would argue that there is no one thing on Batman's belt that just means that Batman's job is done.
Yeah, but the belt, you're like, job done. Got my belt.
No, but Batman's got a Batmobile. Nah. Batman's got loads of stuff.
If Batman actually cared about stopping crime...
Oh, it wouldn't be Bruce Wayne.
He'd be funding major political change.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to be fair, the belt. Problem here is Batman.
The problem's the belt.
The answer, the belt
it's
itself.
The grappling hook.
It's the shark repellent.
No, that's important.
Too much of funding
keep
of
that.
Things that aren't necessary.
No, okay. You can have some unnecessary. You get one Batcopter.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay. I tell you what, though, if anyone's got any, I'm going to open this up again because I know it's such a big one.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I can't ding this. But if anyone has an idea of something that could help people feel that there is hope and a way of creating change.
But I think that the apathy of there's nothing we can do is an issue.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying we need something that everyone can recognize, go, oh, we all recognize that there is something we can do. There's so many things out there. I know we're not normally a political podcast, and I'm fully aware that this is nowhere near as funny as the last episode. But look, it wouldn't be a problem squared without some real problems every now and then. So if anyone has any ideas on how we could do that, or indeed wants to share anything, get us on at A Problem Squared on Twitter, comment on any of the images we put on Instagram, or you can get us up on the problem posing page, but choose solution. That's aproblemsquared.com. Also, if you hated this, tell me. I will avoid anything vaguely serious in the future.
Team Matt, it's a large, expensive societal issue.
If you have ways of helping prevent crime structural societal change,
there you go.
Yeah, start talking about it. Get out there. You don't even have to tweet us.
Donate £100 to a politician or political movement that aligns with the change you want to see in the world.
That is a very good piece of advice.
That would be my best thing on the utility belt.
And if you can't afford a belt, write that down on a piece of paper and tuck it in your pocket. This problem comes from Charlie, who says, what is the speed of smell?
Wow.
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Because we have the speed of sound.
Yep, that's what we can hear.
It's not a speed of touch.
Well, I guess you know nerves. What the speed of time.
And actually, I'm not going to go into nerves because it's like speed of sound is the sound traveling to you. And when I did have a bit of a look online to see if people have already answered this question, a bunch of people did talk about how fast
it takes to
get to your brain and process and all that jazz. And I'm not going to do that.
And again, I feel like in a previous episode, you and I talked about the slight delay that happens in processing information.
I feel like, yes.
So, or we might have just chatted about it as friends, but essentially we are both acting slightly in the past to something happening.
Human, we're sloshy messes. So I'm not going to go into the biology of what's happening. It's the stimulus getting to you.
Yes.
And the speed of taste, I guess, is a ridiculous question.
Yeah, that's true.
How fast is the food delivery? So I'm going to do speed of smell, getting to the body. So the smell starts somewhere else and gets to your nose.
Yep.
Now, at this point, people are probably expecting me to do like the diffusion of gases. And there's a bunch of physics and chemistry and mathematics calculating how like the random walks of if you release a bunch of molecules into another bunch of molecules, they're all going to randomly bounce around.
That's assuming there's no wind.
Blah, 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 Brownian motion.
The difference between standing behind someone when they fart and standing in front of them.
That's not what I meant by Brownian motion. But so it's such a complex question. But so a lot of people would dismiss it as a meaningless question because there are so many confounding factors.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to find out the speed of a smell.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be the smelly.
Okay.
And this
will... what'd you call me?
And this will vary smelly to smelly.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, you're the smeller. We're going to do an experiment and we're going to find out how fast smell moves. Something over here will be the smelly.
Yeah, you're the smelly.
I'm the smelly. You're the smeller.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it a certain distance from you and you're going to tell me when you can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll calculate what the speed was. I thought, what's going to be the smell in my bag here? I've got all the things we need for this experiment. Mm-hmm. I've got three. These are solo cups, like plastic.
Oh, they look like the beer pong type.
I bought a whole pack of these in the States. Because whenever I have a US-themed evening, I drink beer out of a solo cup.
And how often do you have a US-themed evening?
Approximately 1.25 times a year.
And is that like around Super Bowl or?
It's every Super Bowl and every US election. Although I might do the midterms. So that's now 1.5. Now, I would call this Glad Wrap.
Yes, I did.
Cling film.
Yeah,
Saffron wrap, whatever you want to call that. So what I can do is I'm going to add these three cups. I'm going to put something smelly in one or more of them.
You won't
know which ones smell and which ones don't.
Uh-huh.
I will then break the cling film holding them down.
Yep.
And then you will have to wait to see, because you won't know if there's a smell or not, until you can say you can definitely smell something.
Yep.
And then we stop the clock and we know the distance and we'll know how long the smell took to get to you.
Okay, yeah.
Because I feel like if you knew it was definitely going to smell, like, you convince yourself you can smell it potentially sooner, because I'm sure that would make a difference. Ooh. If our brains know we're meant to smell something, I think we will. So I'm trying to...
Are you going
to
do it outside the room then?
Yes, only outside the room.
Okay.
I'm going to 1.5 blind it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to number these underneath. Actually, I'll get a Sharpie now.
Matt is out of his chair and picking up...
Yes, I'm picking up Sharpie.
A permanent marker? Other permanent markers are available.
So this is going to be cup A. This is going to be cup B. And this is going to be cup C.
Is that numbering or lettering?
It's numbering. And so what I'm going to do...
New mathematicians. Everything's
a number. So we've got cup A, cup 1, and cup alpha.
Alpha.
So we've got A, B, and C.
Yeah.
I will know which ones I do or don't put smell in outside. Then I will shuffle them around. So then I, in theory, won't know.
Okay.
The smell is going to be Lynx deodorant.
Oh, classic.
We got the limited edition artificial intelligence.
Lynx AI.
Lynx AI. I got this completely out of curiosity. Fragrance powered by AI.
What does that even mean?
Decoded by you. What does that even mean?
What? Decoded by you?
It's Lynx linear algebra. Lynxia algebra. That's what we're going to call it. Three people are laughing right now. Okay. 46 terabytes of data. 6,000 ingredients. 3.5 million possible combinations. Now I'm going to have to check that. One fragrance. So somehow they've used artificial intelligence to come up with a Lynx, or Axe, if you're in the US.
Yes.
Branded as Axe body spray. If you think obnoxious teenage deodorant.
Yeah.
This is it. So I'm going to go load these.
Okay.
You're going to relax. Now, I feel like I have to go a reasonable distance from the office.
Yeah, because when you open the door.
I'm actually going to go outside.
Amazing.
Otherwise, I'll come back in and I'll be smelling of it. I'll smell of it. I'm going to try and get out middle of nowhere, load these up. Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
All right.
Okay, I'm back in the room. I brought the cups. I'm going to get my tape measure out.
Okay.
So I'm going to put you a meter away.
right. I've backed myself.
Wait, do you want to come?
I've backed myself against the wall.
Do you want to come and meet her?
Okay.
Now, I don't know which cup is which, so I shuffle them around. So I don't know if I don't know if there's smell in this or not. Okay, here we go. Okay. Stopwatch.
What do you want me to do when I smell it?
Or if just say smell or yes.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Say just say yes.
Have a response.
How about yes? Yeah, have some kind of response. Okay, I'm gonna open it on 10 seconds so I get the exact timing. Okay, here we go.
I'm not getting any change.
Nothing yet?
Nope.
Nothing?
No change.
I don't know how long we leave it before we deem this one
I think I would have smelled
empty.
It.
Empty. So look. Empty. Yep. That was all good. Okay, so system works. Okay, I'm measuring out the second one. Okay, that's a meter.
Okay.
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1... Open.
Not getting anything yet. Still nothing. Still nothing. Still nothing.
I forget how long we left it for nothing.
I think I would have smelled it by now. Yep, nothing.
Okay, that one had smell in it.
Did it?
Yeah, I can smell it.
Hold the cup like you did just then so it's facing me.
Like I'm blasting it at you.
Not getting it.
Nothing. Okay, we'll do the last one. For this one, should be half the distance.
Weirdly, I just started smelling something.
Ah! 43 seconds.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really smelling it now.
Okay. We were just impatient.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that one's 43 seconds. Let's do this one.
Is it the same smell, this one?
It's going to be the same smell, yeah.
So would I know? We need a palate cleanser smell.
I'm opening the window for the front door. I hear the front door.
Oh, it's a lovely sunset.
Okay, we have slightly aired the office out.
Okay.
Put that in your nose. Yeah.
It's on my nose?
That's a meter.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to open this. I'm lining it up with the timer. In 3, 2, 1, released. Chances of smell.
And now we have to wait till 43 seconds.
Now we know. Last time it took 43 seconds.
Try and do some.
And deep breathing's allowed, I think. I think you can deliberately try and.
I'm not trying to not smell it, am I?
Yeah. No.
How are we going for time?
No, I don't want to influence.
I'm still not getting anything.
Okay. Right. That's been 1 minute. That one did have some smell in it.
Interesting.
I got it after 16 seconds.
You're sitting right next to
but
it.
But I'm sitting now.
So and you're upwind from it.
And
the cups are facing upwards.
40. I'm 42. Oh, that's not far off.
Did you get it from the last one or did you not time yourself?
I did get it from the last one, but I didn't, annoyingly, I didn't time myself. I would say I'm 40 centimeters from the cup. I'm going to run the numbers.
I'm still not getting it. Still I wonder if you move that cup if I'll start smelling it because you moved the other one around.
Yeah, I did move the other one around. I'm agitating it now. Maybe that releases more.
Is it? Maybe it's the AI.
Maybe it's the AI. It's detected and neutralized you as
well. Or maybe I just started to smell it.
Oh.
And I think it is because you did a gesture with your hand and I think wafted it.
Yeah. We should wait for all the air in the room to stop moving.
Yeah.
Which would take a very long time. But I just ran the numbers on. So it took you 43 seconds at a meter.
Mm.
Took me 16 seconds at 0.4 meters. By your measurement, the smell was moving at 2.3 centimeters a second.
Mm-hmm.
By my measurement, the smell was moving at 2.5 centimeters per second. Oh, so they are scarily close. And actually, you know what? Let's multiply that by 60. So that's, yeah, about one. You got 1.4 meters a minute. I got 1.5 meters a minute.
Wow.
To the degree of accuracy of this ridiculous experiment, that is very good.
So smell in your office, provided it is in a cup receptacle.
Okay, so smell moves at around about between 0.08 and 0.09 kilometers an hour. Not very
in
fast.
In your office?
In my office. Lynx AI.
Yeah.
At this temperature and this level of wafting.
In a cup.
In a cup. So your mileage may vary. But to answer the question, what is the speed of smell? The speed of this particular smell on this occasion, 0.09 kilometers an hour.
Wow, that gets a ding from me.
Yeah. There's a rule of thumb, meter and a half every minute.
Hmm.
There you go.
Oh, I'm impressed. Thanks for that. I'll smell you later.
I thought you were going to go a ding pong.
Oh, nice.
And now it's time for business, comma, any other. Oh, no, wait. Now it's time for business, comma, other, comma, any. I didn't even realize I could break it down further. Okay, Beck.
Yeah.
We had a discussion about when a plate becomes a bowl and when a bowl is a plate.
Yes. And we got a variety of responses from people. Look, honestly, some of them just people's opinions. And that's all
we got
very
a
well
lot of opinions.
Yeah. Not necessarily ones worth commenting on. I would say what I did like was Marcel. Marcel's response was the solution to the bowl slash plate debate is clearly the same solution as the ballroom problem, which was on a previous episode.
Yeah, when does a room become a hall and when is a hall a room?
Yes, yeah. And so it depends what you put in it.
So if you put a soup in it, it's a bowl.
Yeah, so if you put soup on a plate, it's a bowl. And if you put a slice of pizza in a bowl, it's a plate.
Nah. Oh, ooh. I wanted to disagree with that, but I think I might agree. Oh, that's terrifying.
What, you reckon if you have a bowl of pizza, that's a,
I would say if I had, if I wanted to eat pizza and I had to put it down somewhere and there's only a bowl, I would say, and Lucy's like, what are you doing? I'd say, I'm just using this bowl as a plate.
Yeah.
So it's a plate. I'm using it as a plate.
But does that make it a plate?
Oh,
I guess
deep.
Temporarily it does.
I'm using this bowl. It is a bowl that I'm using as a plate. No, I've gone back to my first instinct. I don't buy that. Oh, it's still a bowl.
Interestingly, Lou, but it's spelt Leetspeak, so L00Natick, said, if you wish to sort crockery into two categories, I think a decent distinguisher for plates versus bowls is that if you consider yourself to be putting something on it, then it's a plate, whereas if you're putting something in it, then it's a bowl. So if you said, I'm putting this slice of pizza in this receptacle, it's
a
bowl.
This,
but if you said, I'm putting the slice of pizza on this...
That's like the difference between a bus and a van. You get into a van, but you get onto a bus.
I think that's interesting because that's the sort of thing where just your natural instinct might lead the way.
Say,
because if I put a piece of slice of pizza, I'm already saying it, I put a slice of pizza in a bowl. Like
to use it as a plate.
If I was using the bowl as a plate, I would still say it's in there. I wouldn't say, is it how much of the food appears outside of the receptacle now?
I don't know if the answer can be ask your subconscious.
Why not? We should be more often.
You already know. The answer was in you the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or on you. Who knows?
Am I a plate? Oh. They also said bonus third category would be cups. And I think the line from bowl to cup is crossed when you can no longer put a spoon in all the way to the bottom at such an angle for it to scoop out liquid while the remaining is level.
Oh.
Yeah, there was some really interesting stuff there. Nicole said it's definitely on Patreon, said it's definitely a plate, but one for catching messy good. I think they meant messy food, but
messy
I like
food,
to think
messy
it's
good.
Messy good. It's a bit like chaotic good.
So yeah, it's chaotic neutral bowl.
Yeah. Now they said if you tried soup in that, I think that referring to the picture of the dish that I held up in the image when I was in the cupboard, they said you'd be scraping the bottom the whole time. Incorrect, Nicole. In fact, we have and do sometimes use those dishes for soup.
Yeah.
Because I like to rest my toast on the rim.
I've never known you to scrape the bottle of anything. Also on Patreon, someone said, and other people agree with them, Christ van Villigen, I think. I mispronounced that. I'm very sorry. They say in Dutch, they call it a deep plate.
Oh.
Which I commented is just refusing to pick a side.
Also, then
a
what
deep plate.
I want to know what's the crossover there?
What's a shallow bowl? Come on.
That, yeah, exactly. When
a deep
plate. What's the difference between a shallow bowl and a deep plate?
A deep board.
But we did do the bowl poll.
The bowl poll?
The bowl poll on Twitter. We
roll
asked,
on the bowl poll.
We asked you, our listeners
the only one.
And followers.
It's the soul bowl poll.
Based on the things that we were discussing in the episode, when does a plate become a bowl, which was the amount of central surface with curves, rim discounted.
Yep.
The amount of central surface with curves, rim counted.
Mm.
When the depression is the depth of a spoon.
The spoon test.
Spoon test. And
turns out the people are wrong.
Did you not agree?
I did not agree.
We've had surface curves with rim, 19.9%. Surface curves with no rim, 29.7%, but winning with a staggering majority of 50.4%.
Ridiculous.
The spoon test.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, the people
now, as we know, the polls, it
the
can,
listeners have spoken.
Yeah, but they might be wrong. If there is, if there is a professional out there, look, we settled it with a dentist in the last one.
Yep. If anyone can come in with an argument by authority, let us know. But until then...
Any crockery experts?
Yeah. Until then, it's the spoon test.
Mm.
I'm okay with that. I've made peace with the spoon test.
I still want to know at what point it becomes a hat.
In terms of any other AOB, I mentioned my ongoing project to break the world record for the most steps a slinky has gone down.
Yes.
And I said I'd found some candidate steps in Finland, which were fine, but not great.
Mm.
We've had two types of help come in. A lot of people have suggested other sets of stairs.
Yeah. When you say two kinds of help, do you mean the ones that are actually useful and the ones where they have not listened to the specifications you require?
Let me rephrase. Three types of help.
Yeah.
The zeroth type, not help. The first type, people suggesting other sets of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Several people mentioned ski slopes having stairs to go up them, like artificial ski slopes. But the ones I looked at online and specifically...
They're going to be quite... deep, aren't they, to allow for skis?
This is it. But often they're like the access repair steps.
Oh, okay.
That go alongside. But they are often very deep, and the ones I looked at vary. And so there was a ski jumping hill in Norway, which apparently has around 600 steps. But when I looked online, they're varying depth.
Mm.
So and there's no landings, though, but they're not consistent. And so a few people pitched different variations on that. Some people mentioned other like castles with nearly 100 steps. For example, Adam on the problem posing page put through the solution of Thetford Castle Mound has around 90 steps. Depends how you count the first or last step. Classic problem.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the winning suggestion is the Lion's Mound Monument in Belgium.
Okay.
This is where the Battle of Waterloo happened.
Ah.
This was built in the early 1800s, so post-battle. I think it was like in the 1820s. So it's new enough to have well-engineered steps, but old enough they didn't care about health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
226 steps.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And looking at them in photos, they look very regular.
Mm.
And I think there are going to be like a nice, generous gradient. So what I really need now... is if someone's prepared to go there and measure the steps and have a look at them.
Mm.
I need an eyewitness account. I could go to Belgium, but that...
Where in Belgium again?
I'm not sure. It's wherever Waterloo took place.
So. Okay. Because I might be in Belgium at the end of October.
Oh, that's relevant information.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll check if Beck's going to be close. If anyone is in Belgium and happens to be there before the end of October...
Yeah.
...and can go and measure these steps, let us know. We don't want to duplicate effort. So if you want to get in touch, or just do it.
Yeah.
What I want to know is the average height, the average run, and how much variation are we talking? Like, what's the smallest, what's the biggest? You don't have to measure all 226. A sample of a couple in different places is enough, and eyeball the rest. So that would be great. I feel like that's a good candidate. And it's close enough to the UK, I can get there. The other type of help is someone got in touch with a company that can make custom slinkies.
Oh,
so that's very exciting. They normally manufacture car parts. They're auto manufacturer, but they have made custom slinkies as like a swag giveaway.
Right.
And so one of the people who use them as a supplier told me about them and put me in touch, and they've said yes. They can't guarantee they'll do it, but if I work out the specs I need, they'll see if they can manufacture that slinky for me.
Oh, wow.
So if we end up with a set of stairs, where an off-the-shelf slinky's not going to do it, we'll get a custom one made. So good job, listeners, but your job is not yet done. Let's measure those steps.
Measure those steps.
Thank you all very much for listening. And don't forget, there is a hierarchy to our listeners. Our absolute favorites are the ones who measure steps for us in Belgium.
Yeah.
Closely followed by all of you. We love you all, but particularly the people who support us on Patreon, because they make this whole thing happen. We pick three of our Patreon supporters at random, and truly at random, so people will reappear in this list if we wait long enough. This time we would like to thank...
James Higham or Higham?
Johannes or Johannes Orland?
And Steve Charlewood. Charlewood?
Charlewood.
Charlewood. Charlewood.
We love you all.
We do.
This cast, comma, pod.
Oh, gosh. Still doing
doing
it.
That on the way out. I gotta bookend it. Squared, comma, a problem. Was brought to you by me, Parker, comma, Matt. My host, comma, co. Hill, comma, Beck. Our producer, Carter Armstrong, comma, Lauren, you, comma, thank. Listening, comma, for.
So, Matt.
Beck.
We ran out. Thankfully, we got...
Thank goodness.
We did all the stale...
All the stale snacks have been cleared out.
Snacks.
We do know your card.
I may have found...
Oh, no. What? No. For the record, Beck is now walking across the room to her rucksack. She's pulling out a pack of... Oh, my goodness. What's it's crunchy. Really cheesy. So, it's a large pack of Walker's Wotsits. We haven't done these yet, have we?
No.
Really cheesy flavor corn puffs. Corn puffs. Best before November this year.
Yeah.
They're in date.
They're in date. Should we tend to say to people, like, twisties are like knickknacks, but Wotsits mixed together. But these appear from the packet to be knickknack shaped.
I'm going in. They smell.
I'm trying to see if I can smell them.
Like... Lynx AI
hasn't reached it.
Does everything in the room right now. Hang on. If I bury my face in this, that's very twisty.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Smells oily.
Wait, twisties smell oily or these smell oily?
I can tell you, mate. Twisties have a real strong.
Okay, I've got a wee handful. Here you go.
Oh, you're already going for. Oh, his face, his eyes just went very wide.
That's close.
It is close. It's got a sort of muted flavor more. I feel like twisties are very salty.
This is a bit more.
They'll hit you much harder.
Yeah. This introduces itself first.
Yeah.
And doesn't hang around for long.
Yeah. Whereas twisties is like, I'm here.
Yeah. These are a little more powdery.
Do you want these are more British?
On the end. These are more British. It's like twisties, but they've been living here for 17 years. I want to keep eating these.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep doing that, and we'll let the listeners have some time
off. Who knows
off.
What we found in America?